My brothers and sisters in the Lord, oftentimes in life, it's very easy for us to become cynical. Depending upon our circumstances or our situations, or even the timing that we find ourselves in. Yesterday, I had my opportunity to become very cynical. I was doing a committal service at Greenwood Cemetery, and I was driving in the funeral procession, and all of a sudden, the car just dies right there in the cemetery. It was the first time in my life that anyone ever got rescued from a cemetery. Cynical. And oftentimes, my friends, even in our celebration of Christmas, we can become cynical. Because the world tells us it's over. Move on. We're tired of Frosty and we're tired of the red-nosed reindeer. We're moving on to Valentine's Day and Mardi Gras and king cakes and everything else. We're tired of the gifts that we receive. We're aggravated that the gifts we gave were not appreciated, and we're ready to re-gift others next year. We become cynical. But you see, my friends, the church in her wisdom continues to celebrate the season of Christmas. Today, by this wonderful feast of the Epiphany of the Lord, the manifestation of our God to the world, a light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall never overcome it. So the question for us, my brothers and sisters, is this. How do we more deeply enter into this season of Christmas? How do we more deeply enter into the message of Christmas? My advice, my friends, this morning is this. Before we run away, before we close Christmas for this year, let us take a moment to look at the wise men. What I like to refer to as the wisdom of the wise men. What wisdom, my brothers and sisters, what lessons do they impart on us this day as we strive and struggle to be better disciples and followers of Jesus? Certainly there are many lessons, but we'll only look at just a few. First, we have to recognize, my brothers and sisters, is this. We really know very little about them. All we have is the verses we heard from Scripture today. But they're an essential part of the Christmas story. There's a lot we know about them from tradition. Certainly, tradition gives them names. And if you're like me, who has roots from the Ninth Ward, you can't pronounce those names. But they have names. Tradition says that they're wise men. Some say they're kings. Some traditions refer to them as astrologers. But all this, my brothers and sisters, we can discern a few very important points. From the scriptural readings, we know that they were very wealthy individuals. They had to be very wealthy individuals for many reasons. One, because of the gifts they brought. These were not the Kmart Blue Light special gifts. These were very expensive gifts during the time of Jesus. And we also know they were wealthy individuals because they were able to go on a journey. We get aggravated because we get snowed in at an airport or our flight gets delayed. But in the time of Jesus, to be able to go on a journey, my brothers and sisters, was a very difficult task and a very expensive task. And it was a very dangerous task. And because of the dangers, these three wise men, these three kings, they didn't travel alone. They had to travel with a whole entourage of people in order to make this journey, to be able to leave their lives and their work and their livelihood, whatever that may be. And so the question becomes, why do they go on a journey? Why do they go on this pilgrimage? Why do they follow that star? And as we discern that, my brothers and sisters, we learn the wisdom of the wise men as we too are called to be part of the journey, to be part of the pilgrimage. One thing we discern from the wisdom of the wise men comes right in verse 2, the second verse. The wise men ask, where is the newborn king of the Jews? Where is the newborn king of the Jews? From that question, my brothers and sisters, we can discern that these individuals were not Jews. They were Gentiles. And for these individuals who were Gentiles, they did not have the Jewish history. They did not have the Jewish tradition. They did not have the words of the prophets for generations preparing them for the coming of the Messiah. Yet something in them longed for someone greater than themselves. Something in them longed to go on that journey. And that's the first piece of wisdom we can discern, my friends. You see, these wise men, they had a lot to live on. They were very wealthy individuals. They had a lot to live on. But maybe they didn't have as much to live for. And maybe that is why they went on the journey. They had a lot of material possessions. They had entourages of people. Maybe they had entire kingdoms. But something was missing in their lives. So they sought it out. They sought him out as they made their journey. And that's the first lesson, my friends, for us today. Because most of us, if not all of us in this church, we can really say we have a lot to live on. But many times in life, my brothers and sisters, there's an emptiness inside. And so the question becomes, do we have enough to live for? Do we recognize why we were created? And if we're created to know God, to love God, and to serve God, if that is not in the center of our being, in the center of our heart, then we're wandering aimlessly on the journey. And that's why we have so many people in this world who are searching for something. But they're usually searching in all the wrong places. Because everything is found in the person of Jesus. That's the first lesson. The second lesson, my friends, comes right in the verse after. The wise men say, we saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage. We saw his star and have come to do him homage. We have to remember, my brothers and sisters, that during the time of Jesus, the stars were very important to most cultures. Many cultures directed their lives by the stars. They looked at the stars. They discerned the stars. And so you see, my friends, these wise men saw this star in the east, this new star. This strange star, this unusual star. And they left everything to follow it. The lesson there, my brothers and sisters, is so many times we get stuck in our routines that we fail to look at the heavens. We fail to look at the face of God. We get so stuck in our routines that we fail to embrace the mystery and wonder of God. Our Holy Father, Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, often speaks about the mystery and the wonder of the Lord. The wisdom of the wise men is that they saw the star and they went on the journey. They left. Other individuals probably saw the star. It wasn't uncommon to look at the stars. But they stayed because they were focused on their routine. The work that had to be done in the shop or the fields or whatever it may have been. But these wise men saw and they went and they journeyed. And that's very important, my brothers and sisters. Do we do the same? So that the light of Christ can shine in us and through us to a waiting world. I think all of us know individuals who, when they walk into a room, that room just lights up. You can feel the Spirit of God within them. It just sort of moves your spirit. And there are other people who walk into the room, and it's like death warmed over. Not a pleasant word, always complaining, nothing nice to say, always filled with gossip and slander and all sorts of other things. And usually, my friends, if we fall into that second category at times, it's usually because we're always with the if statements. The if. And what do I mean by that? If I was born in a better city, if I had better parents, if I had a better education, if I had a different job, if this, if that, everything would be wonderful. But there's no gratitude. There's just excuses. I remember many years ago, one of the first pilgrimages I went on, I wasn't leading it, I was sort of just as an assistant, as one of the priests. And there was this man, probably in his early 60s, we went to Rome. And this man complained from the time we got to the airport throughout the pilgrimage. We were at the Vatican and St. Mary's Majors and St. John Lateran. And all he could say is, what's such a big deal? Why do people make such a big deal? We had to fly 13 hours to see this. And about halfway through the pilgrimage, I had it kind of up to here. And so, you know, Father Cooper is mostly Sicilian. And it takes a lot to push me over the edge. But when I go over the edge, I go over the edge. And so I had it up to here, and he was complaining about something. And I looked at him, and I said to him, sir, if you don't have it within, you're not going to be able to see it on the outside. If you don't have the beauty and splendor and the mystery of God within you, you're not going to be able to discern it and see it. And oftentimes, my friends, we fall into that. That's the second lesson. The third lesson comes towards the end. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and they entered the house, and they saw the child and Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage, and they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They worshiped the Lord, they did him homage, and they brought him gifts. And that's very important, my brothers and sisters, because the gifts are very symbolic. What we have to remember is that in the time of Jesus, if you went to see a king or a member of a royal family, you always brought a gift. It was the tradition. You didn't go empty-handed. And the gifts, my brothers and sisters, are profound representations of who Jesus is. Gold is the king of the metals. It represents the kingship of Jesus. Is he king of our lives? Do we give everything over to him? There's a true story about an admiral from England in the English Navy, a man by the name of Nelson. And Nelson was known that after he won a war or conquered one of his enemies, he was always very kind and courteous to the commanding general or admiral, whoever it was. And so one day he had won a war, and the individual who was defeated was another admiral, and he was brought upon Nelson's ship. And right there on the deck, Nelson came out, and this other admiral was walking towards him. And he knew Nelson's personality, that he was always very cordial and nice. And so the other man placed his hand out to shake Nelson's hand. And how did Nelson respond? He looked at the man and he said, sir, first your sword and then your hand. Why is that important, my brothers and sisters? Because in order to truly allow God to be king, we have to die to self. First, your sword, your will, your ego. And then Jesus can lift us by the hand. Because if not, we just fight to go the other way. Gold for the king, Frankincense, which was a sweet incense used in the temple worship, frankincense was for the priest. And Jesus is our high priest. In Latin, the word priest means bridge builder. Jesus built the bridge between God and man. That separation from original sin and the fall in the Garden of Eden. And certainly, as most of us know, the last gift, myrrh, was used to embalm bodies. It was the gift for the dead. Because only by dying would the Lord be able to rise and therefore open up the gates of paradise for you and for me. You see, my brothers and sisters, as we continue this celebration of the season of Christmas, let us not be cynical. Let us not rush to get to Valentine's Day and to the parade route for Mardi Gras. But let us sit with the meaning and the mystery of Christmas. And let us learn from the wisdom of the wise men.